Well, it'd be good. Pray for me this morning. Thinking of something that Brother Bruner used to say. He said, if what you got isn't working, he said, get rid of it and get something that works. And I have to say I agree with the philosophy of that. I like things that work. I'm not impressed by things that don't. Salvation was meant to work. And it doesn't have much effect if it doesn't work. Just to use it nominally, for us to call ourselves Christians, or to be dedicated to religious services or purposes, are fairly vain. If the essence of salvation isn't working in our lives, it's supposed to work. It's meant to work. The spread of the gospel is and always was contingent on the fact that it works. When Jesus came, he proved that it worked. It's why he did the things that he did, to show that it works. He healed people's bodies as a proof that he could heal their souls. It works. It wouldn't have been very impressive for the Lord to have told people to go and be well, but them never be well. It wouldn't be very impressive if he would use big flattering words to cast out devils, but the people still had bad spirits. It wouldn't have been impressive. It's not impressive now. It wasn't impressive then. The gospel has always spread by the fact that it works. In the beginning days, people looked on the new Christian sect, if you will, the new Christian Christianity. They looked on that and said, what is this? What's this about? And it claims certain things. And they looked on and seen that that worked. It's designed to take us out of our sins. It's designed to change our hearts. It's designed to make our marriages work. It's designed to make us able to humble ourselves so we can get along together. It's designed to have certain fruits in people's lives. It's designed that we have the capability of loving one another. That we should have love and gentleness and kindness and meekness and temperance and patience. It's designed for having fruits in our lives. And the way it always has spread, it worked then, it works now, isn't for some advertising campaign to get people into the chapel through entertainments. The gospel is to spread because it works in people's lives. And when we testify of Christianity and it doesn't work in our lives, it is designed to help you with the difficulties that you have in your life. It's designed to take care of the dysfunctional places in your life where you can't face life. The gospel is meant to cure it. I say cure it, I mean at least it is meant to help us to be able to be functioning through it. It's what the gospel does. And if you and I want to be effectual as ambassadors of Christ, if we want to be effectual as witnesses of the Lord, It's going to have to work. Your testimony is worthless. No matter how flowery you are, how great of an orator you are, your testimony is vain if you can't testify from the working of the Spirit of Christ in your life, to where you can say, I used to be this way, and by the grace of God, I'm no longer that way. I used to have these problems, and I have them no more. The Lord has been able to work in my life and help me. I think it's an accurate testimony to be able to say, I haven't made it yet. I think it's accurate to say to anyone, there's hope for you. None of us has made it all the way. But there has to be a difference in you because you testify of Christ than what there would be if you didn't. There has to be something that's changed about us. And so I want us to think about it this morning, the real worth and value of, and I'll repeat Brother Bruner. If what you have isn't working, get rid of it and get something that works, because there is something that works. The Lord meant this to work. Now, I want to look at a scripture over in John, 10th chapter of St. John. The 30th verse says, I'll back up just a little bit. The 25th verse says, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hands, my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? That's quite a good comeback for them. I could see the situation. Jesus saying this to them, and them and their religious ideas pick up stones to stone him. And his idea is now, are you willing to say which one of my good works that you're going to stone me for? Are you going to stone me for healing the woman with the issue of blood? Is that why I get stoned? Are you going to stone me for feeding the 5,000 that was starving about to faint out in the wilderness? Are you going to stone me for that one? Are you going to stone me for healing the blind man? Are you going to heal me for restoring the strength to the lame man's legs? Which one of these works are you going to stone me for? I'm not going to say people ain't going to stone you. We ain't going to convince everybody, and I don't know what the Lord might let in your life as a way of persecutions. But you ought to at least be able to say, what is it that you're stoning me for? Because if the only thing I can say is you're stoning me because I badmouthed you, or I talked behind your back, or I lost my temper at you, well, then that's illegitimate. But if I could honestly say, what are you going to stone me for, loving you? You're going to stone me for praying for you? What are you going to stone me for? What Jesus said, what are you gonna stone me for? I'm witnessing all of these things. Think of this. Jesus was witnessing it. It worked. Folks, listen, it worked. What Jesus was doing worked. When he laid hands on something, something moved. Something changed. He was saying that I'm the Son of God and I can prove it. Who else can do it? When Nicodemus come to the Lord, he said, we know thou art of God. Because no man can do these miracles unless God be with them. Nicodemus was an honest soul. You know, that's what we're after, folks, is an honest soul. We're only after the honest soul. And our lives are meant to spread the gospel with, and the only way the gospel has been spread is through a working salvation. It's supposed to work. I say this, and Lord help us. I know we're on a road, or we're climbing a ladder. I know there's always going to be ground ahead of us. But I've often looked at people that have stayed with the same basic problems for 40 or 50 years and wondered, Lord, did you never deal with them? Did you never try to help them? It's obvious this hurts their life. It hurts their families. It hurts their functional life. Have you not tried? I believe the Lord tries. He's not wanting to leave us in those kind of places. He wants to make it work till we can testify to those and comfort those that need comfort and help those that need help to be able to say, the Lord has changed me. The Lord's given me grace and strength to be able to be functional in this. I no longer have to be a slave to this thing in my own life. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said it, I am the Son of God? Listen to what Jesus says here. I think it would be right for anybody to say it. He says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Why should we expect our families, our friends, our community, our nation? Why should we expect him to believe a Christianity that don't work? I think Jesus would say self. If I do not the works, don't believe me. Believe me not. If I can't prove this, if this isn't provable, if this isn't legitimate, then you have a right to say, I can tell you don't believe it then. But by the same idea, we ought to be able, there ought to be a convincing. If we want to be real witnesses of the Lord, we're going to have to be really of the Lord. You know, I believe in a greater outreach. I believe in the idea of being able to touch the world. I believe we ought to touch our world. I believe that we ought to be able to make a difference over time with the people in our life. We ought to be able to build some kind of a confidence with them that they can say, I believe in them. It takes time sometimes to do that. But why should they believe if we ain't no better than they are? You know, really, the first place that any witnessing starts, it's got to start at the house of God. You got to get it right first. You know, the best thing you can do for the people around you is get as close to the Lord as you can and have the fruits of God in your own life. The best thing that you can do to testify isn't forced. It's natural. The best thing you can do to spread the gospel is live close enough to the Lord that the Lord's in you, that the Lord's showing His fruit in you. If you're supposed, if Christianity is supposed to be that we love everybody, then we better love everybody. Because the world even knows it. The world may not believe it. They may not do it. But they know what we're supposed to do for the most part. They're not impressed. The world isn't impressed with a Christianity that doesn't work. There's a saying in the alternative life community, I say about them, many Christian pastors have said that they're running the institution of marriage. No, they ain't. Bad Christianity's running it. Because it's not what it's supposed to be. And when it's what it's supposed to be, there's no gainsaying it. When we sacrifice ourselves for each other, there's no gainsaying that. When it works year after year after year through all kinds of situations, there's no gainsaying that. It works. And when it works, it's obvious to all. And to those that need something, and those that really want something, the gospel is to be spread through the workings of it. It's supposed to be spread because it is accurate. It does work. I can say to the people that's in my life, you want an answer to your life's problems? I'll point you to the answer. Jesus is the answer for your life. Okay, then what did He do for you? Have you overcome your carnality? Have you overcome your flesh? That's what we're saying that they can do. You can have power over your own spirit. You don't have to have the habit of addictions. You can be in control of yourself. You can push the chocolate cake aside. Now, come on. This is where it's at. This is where it's at. Do I have that power? Has the Lord helped me to have power to be able to say no to what I have to say no to? I don't have to be under bondage to that stuff. I don't have to be. And the world's going to look on. They don't have to get down and write it down. You don't have to be a scientist to do this. You don't have to be overly educated to know this. Does it work? Because you know what? I'm really not impressed with things that don't work. I'm not impressed by demonstrations that come up flat. I'm not impressed by something that's supposed to work that don't. You know, I've seen these advertisements before. And the advertisements is always like this. You take this spray bottle of cleaner, the toughest of grime. This will dissolve the toughest oils, the toughest of grimes, all in an instant, in a flashing of light. Spray that on there and they'll take their rag and wipe it completely clean. You can eat off of it. It's a clean, sparkle shine, one wipe. You ever got that stuff? Oh, I'd like to have that stuff. Go out there and spray that foam on them wheels of my truck. Boy, it takes off road grime and oils and greases in an instant and cleans them right up, and it's a wonderful product. I get that stuff and spray it, and I'm sitting and wondering, well, I ain't saying it don't work some. It works when you get the elbow grease in there and start, and then get the hammer and the chisel and start chiseling the stuff off, and after a while you'd say, I'm sorry, I'm not impressed by your product. It doesn't work like you say it works. Salvation's to save the soul. Salvation is to make us, to change us. The old man has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Can you overcome your, if you want to say, inbred jealousies? Or your environmental influences? Can you overcome covetousness? Can you overcome a bad temper? Can you overcome? Is it there to overcome? We testify of salvation, of a power of Jesus Christ in our lives, a spirit that changes us. I have an expectation of something. Don't you? Don't you? Is there anybody that you would have been disappointed in? Listen, we all have made mistakes. Don't think I'm not going there. But has there ever been anybody that you just said, I'd been disappointed in them? Because they always seem to have so much more than that. You know, when Brother Clifford Wilson come here We've had a lot of good saints. I'm just saying, Brother Clifford was an impressive person. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember. I know there's some old you, but Brother Clifford was an impressive person. He just really was. And all his spirit, his demeanor was so Christ-like. I'd have been shocked to see him throwing a fit over something. I'd have been shocked. I know we all have get the thing. I would have been shocked to have seen it because he demonstrated a spirit that he had. I believe the Lord worked in his life. Now, I know Brother Jim was a human too. But when he testified of the old man that he was, and what people testified of him and what God had created in him in the years coming. And then to go to his funeral, I watched him. I knew he touched a lot of people's lives. I had no idea until he got sick and coming down to the end how many people, and Brother Mike could testify to this too, how many people, grown men in the world, cried because of him. Sat and cried. One of his neighbor over there told me, he sat Brother Jim over there sleeping before he passed, and I was sitting with him, and he come and he told me, he said, I'm going to tell you what that man means to me. I'm going to tell you what he means to me. And he started telling me, he started crying. And he told me about a little dog he had died. He said, a little dog died. And he said, I know it's silly. I know dogs die. I know it's silly. But it hurt me. It was something that I cared for and it hurt me. And said I didn't know where to turn to, but said he come over there. And somehow he understood. And he comforted me. And he sat there and cried. Folks, salvation's to work. When you have it, but he didn't have to make it work. It worked because it was there. It works because it's there, and if you once you go, it's not working, there's something that works. Another guy, I never had met him before. I remember Jeff, but this guy came and he came in right out there. And he told me about coming in and meeting him and all this. And the man out there started crying. I never met him before. He started crying. Tell me what Brother Jim meant to him and how he had helped him through some things. And then I never even knew the man existed. I never heard Brother Jim talk about him. And the guy wept. He wept because it was somebody that it worked in his life. And you could ask those men and they said, he's got something. He's got something. That's the way the gospel spreads. Through a working salvation, something that works. When you have it, it'll work too. Make sure it works. Make sure you got it. Make sure it's working in your life. Scripture over in Hebrews. 6th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 6 and... I'm going to have to find it now. Ninth verse says, but beloved, I'm going to back up a little bit. Sixth verse says, if they shall fall away to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him in open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now listen, this is what he's saying to these, this is what the writer's writing to them. He's warning them. Salvation isn't thorns and thistles. When you have God, it isn't thorns and thistles, there's fruit that's brought of that. It isn't going to be this stuff of the flesh. It isn't those things. And he warns him of it. And then he says this. But beloved, we are persuaded better things for you than thorns and thistles. The world's got that. Do you know that the common practice of the world is if something happens to them, then they respond back. You hit them, they hit you back. You do something, they do it back. You get even, you do that, you sue, you do whatever you need to do. But the apostle says here, but we're persuaded better things of you than that. Why? Because we have a goal. We're more concerned about the prosperity of the gospel than we are our own lives. So I have to suffer a harm. It's not about me. It's about the spread of the gospel. If I got that in my heart, then that's going to be what comes out. The way we respond is what people look at. Is it working? You can say whatever it is. I believe the Bible, but do you live it? I believe the Bible, but is it active in your life? Do I take this as my creed, my doctrine? This is why I live my life by. If it says this, I want to do it. I want to have it in my heart. Because that's what's going to persuade the world. And when somebody gets in trouble and somebody's looking for truth, they're going to look to somebody and say, why are they, Lord help us here, why are they a happy, joyful people that make it through their problems? Why are they somebody that has peace of God in their hearts and lives? Why? When the old king got down to some trouble and he didn't know how to answer for a dream, he asked about these dreams and they says, hold on, we know somebody that knows something about these dreams. Well, there was a couple instances of that. One was the Pharaoh that said about the dream, well, we know somebody. Hey, wait a minute. I know somebody that it works in. Now you imagine him coming up there and coming up with some big far-fetched thing that never turned out. Wouldn't have been much of a story. No, it worked. He had it right. Then Nebuchadnezzar, when he has this deal, he needs somebody to interpret about this image and all that it meant. Wait a minute, there's one that knows what this is. There's one that knows the God. How does he know? Did he take it on? Well, I'm just that kind of a fella. I got extraordinary powers. He didn't say that. He said, hold on, guys. I don't know who can interpret a dream. Who can know the secrets of those kind of things? I don't know what they are, but I know the one that knows. You hold on and let me go ask him. Oh, is this going to work? This ain't going to work. You say to somebody, I need an answer or something. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to pray about it. That ain't going to work. Yes, it is. It's going to work. I've told you this many times. Remember the time that the river flooded out of its banks or nearly out of its bank and eroded my bank away from my house over there? And I can look out. It's our bedroom now, but it was a dining room at the time. And I could look out the dining room window and look straight down. And the undercut of the river was just right a foot from the house. I mean, right there's the river, looking straight down. And I went out and was standing on the bridge, and my neighbor, Julian Rittenhouse, come over there, and he said to me, he said, what are you going to do? And I laughed. I tell you why I laughed. When we bought the house, we bought it through prayer. We felt like God gave us the house, and so we gave it back to him. It's your house, Lord, whatever. And I said right there, and I laughed, and I said to Julian, I said, well, what would you do? I mean, what would you do? I said, but I'll say this. If I know the Lord, he'll stop that. Just short of undercutting that house, and then the state will come back here and build it back better than it's ever been before. And you want to know what happened? The Lord stopped it just short of the foundation. And the state come back and fixed it better than it had ever been before. Folks, it works. You can give God your house. I told him, I said, but I would do it just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It worked. It worked. I'm not going to bow to that because this works. I told him, I said, it's God's house, and if he takes it down the greenbrier, still going to be well with my soul. But if I know the Lord, he'll stop that short of damage and he'll put it back better than ever. And that's what he done. And folks, we can testify to what the Lord's done. I can tell you over and over in my testimonies of the time that I got and didn't know what to do and was frantic about it and uncertain and all that. When I poured myself out to the Lord, not one time in over 30 years has he disappointed me. Not one time. He's always answered. He's always come to the rescue. Not one time. And he's not going to start being unfaithful with your next trial. He's never in the history of humanity made a mistake, and yours is not going to be the first one. So he said, we are persuaded. Better things in your testimony than better than that. And the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Listen, there are some things that accompany salvation. It's hand in hand with salvation. You can't say I'm saved and not have it. There is things that accompany it so closely. I know the world religions teach that salvation is just an abstract idea that you get to go to heaven when you die. That's about as deep as they go. You give yourself to the Lord, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. No matter what kind of a scoundrel or rascal you are here in this life. And it's not true. What's true is that there's a power of salvation converting the soul. Not just taking it when you die, but converting it and changing it and giving it a whole new identity and name. There's things that accompany salvation. The things that accompany it is peace and joy and long-suffering and kindness, gentleness, faith. They accompany it. We say we believe in the Lord. I'm going to challenge you here. Do you really believe in the Lord? What do you think he's doing when you're in trouble? What kind of a God do you serve? You think something dangerous happened around and a father not be looking at that little child? You think I'm just going to let a pack of wolves run around the house without me? Oh, let Lydia and Abby go out there and play in the yard. Just wolves. Uh-uh. I'm going to get rid of the wolves before they're out there. And if they're out there, they're going to have to contend with me. That's what do you think God's doing in your life? I know what we act like. A lot of times. We act like the sky is falling and there ain't nobody big enough to stop it from falling. And what's going to hit me is gloom and doom and despair, and there's no way out of it, and I'm eternally lost because of it. Now, don't we act like that sometimes? Well, I say these levels. Lord help us. I don't know why anybody, and I say this sincerely, I don't know why anybody would be impressed by my experience of salvation the way I feel. But you can't go by what you feel. You're going to have to go by what you've determined to believe of the Word of God. God is God no matter how I feel. God's still God. He's still a God. But I want what accompanies salvation. And peace is supposed to accompany it. Give me that peace. Joy is supposed to accompany it. Give me that joy. A security and troubles and trials, I want that security. There's things that accompany salvation. I think that the best witness that you can make, or the best way to approach any kind of witnessing for the Lord, is to make sure that you're a witness. You know what I'm saying? I had the great privilege of being called and go down to Marty's accident yesterday. And was down there, and there was another young fella standing there, and the police officer come up to him and said, I need to get your statement. Well, I'm assuming he was in the car ahead of you, Marty. I don't know, but there was but he went and gave, he was a witness. He saw what happened. So he went and wrote a statement about what had happened. The only way he could have wrote a statement about what has happened was to have been there and seen it. He was a witness to it. The old song says something about, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I was saved, and I know I was. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Now I can testify about it. I can testify about what the Lord has done in my life. I can testify to you about dozens and dozens of personal healings to me and my family and to those that are around me. I can testify to personal dealings where the Lord allowed me to go through stuff to put me back on the right track. I can testify to you about loving people, that there's no way without God that I could love. And I'm not going to act like I'm a giant in this thing. I needed God's grace and strength to help me to have that in my heart, to be able to go on and do it. But I'm going to testify to something. I don't believe that there is anything that a person can do to you in this life that God doesn't have grace enough for you to love them anyway. Because there has been that testimony of God's people down through the years. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this was one remarkable to me, Brother Harlan Sorrell. I don't mean to lift up anybody, but it was so impressive to me. Brother Harlan Sorrell had a man work on his house. And I hope I get this story close enough. But this guy, he paid him quite a large amount of money, and the guy skipped out on him. It was quite a bit of money. Some years later, this guy became destitute. Guess who took him in? It supported him and helped him. Yeah, good old Brother Harlan. Try that one. You know the way we feel about things and how we can justify the not doing it. I'm telling you, that touched me. I said, that's what accompanies salvation, folks. That accompanies salvation. To be able to have a forgiving heart. Forgive him to say he's in trouble and I'm going to help him. Well, why after what they done to him? Well, now, wait a minute. There was one that come down here that had never sinned or done anything wrong, and he went around helping people, and all he did was help people. And they called him Beelzebub. They put stripes on his back. They put thorns on his head. They took him and stripped him down and nailed him to a cross and stuck him up in the air until he passed away. And before he did, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That accompanies salvation. So our witness of our life, folks, everybody has a legitimate, in your life, around your life, they have a right not to believe if you don't show them Christ. When you show them the carnality, and when you're not doing the works and salvation, then they, just as Jesus said, if I do not the works, believe me not. But if I do the works, then believe the works. Here's the deal. He even said, don't believe me, believe the works. This is what I come with works for. This is what I've got to touch people with. I've got to touch people with, they say, that is not ordinary. That's not human. That's divine. That's divine. It touches their heart. It witnesses. It brings a conviction to their souls. Because that isn't normal. It isn't right. There's something divine about that. And they're going to have to deal with that. And that's the way the gospel was spread in its early time. There was people that tried to stamp out Christianity, and they couldn't do it. Because the more persecution that they laid on the church, the more the people seeing those persecuted people love the persecutors, the more people embraced it. The more people said, what is to have a heart like that? It's got to be right. To have that kind of power in your own life to love anyway and have that kind of strength. I want that. Got to have it. There was a testimony of God in it all. And I think we're some 2,000 plus years away from that. But it's still going to work the same today. The ones you're going to really impress in life, it's going to be through a power of witness of a salvation that works. It really does. Folks, listen. It really does work. And let me leave you with this. If you can at all in your life in the Lord, visualize Him always alive on His throne. No matter what your situation is, visualize a living Christ, a living God, one that we have to say, if He's God, He understands. If He's God, He knows. If He's God, He's what He said He is. He won't let, if a sparrow can't fall to the ground and die without Him seeing it. He knows the number of the hairs on my head. He's in control. He has to be. And Lord, help me to be faithful in my life that I might be able to be the example that I should be. I'm going to tell you, we found out quite recently, quite a bit, there's more people watching our lives than you think there are. Just about everywhere you go, people is noticing. So if what you got's not working, don't be ashamed. Just get rid of it. Brother Bruno said, get rid of it. Get you something that works, because this is working. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.